Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall He lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus.
Reading today from Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel have done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, After she had done all these things, Turn unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredoms that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks, and yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, for thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall it be done away. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. So far we read this blessed word of God. Let's give thanks for it and beg that he will teach us through his word. Our Father, we give thanks for thy holy word. Every word is given by thy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that that word may be written on our hearts, that our hearts might be opened by thy Spirit to receive it, and that once again there might be reviving in the church, awakening in the world. We pray it for all nations, tongues, and tribes throughout the earth. We pray that that which is promised might be fulfilled in our time, if it could be thy will. We think of the psalmist speaking in Psalm 102, stating that it is time for thee to work, O Lord. Help us not to be impatient, and help us also to realize that your way, Lord, thy way is open, and that we are the ones that are not working. We are the ones that are not heeding the word. Thou art giving it to us, and we give thanks for each and every word that we have, not only from the Holy Scriptures, but also from those of the past that speak to us, the examples of them, as well as the examples in Scripture itself. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. We pray, Father, that that word also may soon be sent to those who are not hearing it at the present time, that many laborers might be called and sent to every nation, tongue, and tribe. We pray not only for this blessing, Father, but also for the temporal blessings that many need, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for the sick and the injured, that there might be given faith to look to thee, Father, through Christ for healing. We pray also for those that would be left in their illness through life. They may have the grace to bear under it and to learn through it the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We pray for those that will soon meet thee in death, that they might be prepared through the gospel of Christ. Pray, Father, for those that are suffering in other ways, the calamities that have come, fire, wind, earthquakes, floods, all these have come, Father, in many different areas, and we pray for those who are in suffering. We pray for our police, our soldiers, our schools. We pray, Father, especially for our homes, the broken homes, that they might be reconciled with thee and with each other, the children in those homes. Pray that thou would teach the church, that it would teach thy word, what thou hast joined together. Let not man put asunder. We pray especially, Father, that we and other nations might realize rightly the terrible sin of murdering the unborn, as we see more and more nations allowing this terrible deed to take place. Help us again to put thy fear in our hearts, that we might have the beginning of wisdom all through Christ. Amen. Looking at this prophecy of Jeremiah once more, last week we looked at chapter 15, where God pronounced very solemn judgment, stating, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Then at the end of what God told Jeremiah at this time. He also told him, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And we do see Jeremiah staying faithful to God and put in the dungeon later for it. We also see what happened to those that were not faithful. We can read of those that were not true to God. He said, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal every man's words from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. I have not sent them, nor commanded them, and listen especially to these words. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Lightness and lies do not profit. We need God's whole counsel. We need his chastenings and rebuke, and we need it today as much as it was needed in the time of Jeremiah when he was there during the time of Josiah. And Josiah had cleansed the temple, had a wonderful Passover, destroyed many of the idols, but sadly, as we read, Judah did not turn with a whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord, half-heartedly or deceitfully, and they were called here a number of times treacherous Judah. Treacherous. Those who were the most blessed in the world at that time were the Word of God. Those who had a king that brought them back to the Lord and worship in the temple, cleansing the temple, doing away with the idols. But the people were ready to go back to a wicked king that followed. Jeremiah was there for much longer than Josiah. Josiah, 20-some years, and Jeremiah, around 40 years. We can read in Jeremiah chapter 1 that he was there in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, to the carrying away the captives in the 5th month of that year, about 588 years before Christ. All of that had taken place during the time of Jeremiah's prophecy, giving warning, giving the calling. And as we read last week and read it again a moment ago, God said, if you stand before me and separate the precious from the vile, that's what it is. Those that have the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, are precious, even though they might be called many things and suffer much persecution. That's why we need to do, if we have that fear of God, and we know the signs of the times, we know the evil that's taking place, and we are willing to stand against the evil and do as we saw some weeks ago, where the Lord Jesus said, except you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Jeremiah was that. He denied himself. He did what God wanted him to and not what the people wanted him to do. He did what the song said. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Woe unto us if we allow the banner of the gospel to suffer loss. If we deny Christ, he says, then he will deny us before men. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The difference lies not whether or not we have sinned. The difference lies in whether or not we recognize sin. The Lord Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he said to those who were most righteous outwardly, the publicans and harlots who are in the kingdom of God before you. They were outward sinners. The publicans, tax collectors, sometimes overcharged. The harlots were the ones that lived in fornication and sinful ways. But they repented. As the Lord Jesus said, they repented at the preaching of John. He also gave the example of two sons that the father told to go and work. The one said, I will not, but afterward repented and went. The other one said, I go, sir, and went not. The Lord Jesus says, which of the two did the will of his father? I think we're content in saying, well, I said I would go. When we don't go, when we don't go and we don't know the sin of it. I was there for many years in the church thinking all was well, not knowing what a sinner I was in thought, word, deed, both doctrine and life. That was the problem here with Judah at the time of Jeremiah. They did not know they were sinners. If we go to the 7th chapter, God told him to stand in the gate of the temple, the place of worship, Solomon's beautiful temple. Josiah had cleansed it, and they were worshiping there again. But God said to Jeremiah, stand there, and when they enter in the gates to worship the Lord, tell them, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. 3 times, God said to Jeremiah, repeat that. You say, the temple of the Lord. Sometimes we say, my church. Remember a number of years ago, we went around the city and knocked on doors and talked to people, and most of them would say, I have my church. That's good. Very good. Needful. Talked to a young man yesterday, going to college, brought up in a church, but no longer going. That's sad. But it's not enough to say, I have a church. The Pharisees had their church. They were the strictest sect of the Jews. But as Christ said, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you wash the outside of the cup, but inwardly are full of dead man's bones. He compared them to whited sepulchers. That was true 500 and some years later when the Lord Jesus was here on earth. But it was also true at this time. He said, don't say the temple of the Lord. He said, if you mend your ways and your doings, and you execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, that's what must be done. That's the proof whether or not we are right with God. The Apostle John writes in his epistle, if we say we love God and hate our neighbor, we're a liar. We're on the road to hell. All liars go there. That's pride. When we say all is well when it's not, we must love our neighbor, including our enemy. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that trouble you. All of that is God's command. Today, do we love our neighbor? Broken homes. Our closest neighbor, possibly as husband or wife. They become one flesh. Even sometimes closer than children and parents. God tells us a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Realize that when it's there, when the opportunity is there, to love that neighbor as well as parents and children. Children, honor your parents. Obey them that have authority, as the parents do. And then, other ways that God brings us into subjection. Government. No power that be but are of God. They that resist shall receive damnation. That's our neighbor, and God puts some over the rest of the neighbors that are in authority, all thereby gone. We see much rebellion in our time, in our nation, and other nations as well, overthrowing leaders. Some good ones, some wicked ones. We are in a time of turmoil. We are in a time, as Paul said, perilous times. And there was that here, this time of Jeremiah. There was that earlier as well. If we go back earlier in the history to the time of the judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, because there was no king in Israel. And here, though there was a king, a God-fearing king, Josiah, the people didn't follow his ways. And particularly when he died, they went back to their wicked ways with a wicked king. Very soon. Earlier, they had had King Hezekiah, also a righteous king, and his son Manasseh was there. Very wicked. And those sins that he committed could not be pardoned. God said of him, they could not pardon the people because he shed innocent blood. That's being done today. We go into our churches, but we often vote for murderers in government. Those that promote the wicked ways of killing the unborn. Those that promote and allow the way of the breaking of the home. All these different sins we minimize, and we want our way and wickedness. The next chapter, we read some of it last week from chapter 4, after we were considering some of the things in the 15th chapter. Chapter 4, verse 1, if thou return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. The people went on in their ways, not thinking about their sins. See, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. God saw them in their abominations. He also uses the word iniquity. We probably aren't as familiar with that, but I think we know what abominations means. It's something that is to be despised, and God does despise what we do wrong. And he says, put thine abominations out of my sight. God sees what we think, what we want, what we do, what we have done. Individually, in the home, in the church, in the nation. And especially, we need to turn back to God and the church. Christ said, you are the salt, you are the light. And then the solemn words, but if the salt have lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. Salt, as it were, thrown in the sand, walked over, mixed with the dirt. Is that where the church is today? Some ways, yes. We're allowing sin in the church. We're promoting sometimes sin, especially the breaking up of the homes and the sad thing of the children in the broken homes. We talk about needing mental help, more money for mental realization and instruction. Why? Because we've left the Bible. Now we need something else, but there is no good substitute for the Bible. The Bible gives us faith. First, repentance, but then faith. Saved by faith. Justified by faith. And then, the just shall live by faith. Why are children in the broken home so frustrated? because they don't have faith in what's taking place. I read today that many, many don't even get married. A number of years ago, 48% of people in their 20s became married. Now it's down to 28%. Part of it is because they're living together without marriage, which is very wrong. It's a life of fornication. Again, the church should not allow it, but it does. Part of it is the broken homes that remain unmarried, and also those that have second, third marriages, and children are tossed to and fro. Troubled homes, all of that brings mental distress, including suicide, death. Death to the young people. We're in danger of more and more death to the elderly. Other countries are there, and the terribleness of so many of the unborn that have been murdered in their mother's womb. Many times, bodies torn apart. Sometimes other ways of killing the unborn in the mother's womb. The place that should be safe. The place that should be only in love and thankfulness. And both fathers and mothers are guilty. Doctors, government, church, all guilty. And if you and I neglect thinking about it, praying about it, doing something about it, then we are guilty of negligent homicide. We don't prevent it. I've heard of times where people were attacked on the street, killed, and others standing around, watched, didn't do anything about it. Negligent homicide. They should have tried to stop the murderer. What are you and I doing to stop this awful murder? Yes, I emphasize it. There's many other sins. As I said last week, Paul mentions many of them when he writes to the church at Corinth. He states, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, and abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall not enter the kingdom of God." And he says, "Thankfully, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Have you recognized yourself in one of these sins? We're there. Some in one sin, some in more than one, some in other sins. But all of us need to recognize that we together have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the blessing, washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Spirit convicting us, making the word effectual, real, sharp, pricking. Also taking the things of Christ and showing them to us, leading us to both repentance and faith. Have you been there as a little child?
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.